All right, tonight, if you would, take your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Psalms, Psalm number 40. And I want to read the first three verses of this psalm, and this will be primarily where we will spend our time. We will not be turning to any scriptures, very few, if any. And so just right here in this psalm, and it's a psalm of David. When we think of psalms, we think of David being the human author of most of them, and he was, but not all of them. But many of them have his name right at the very top, and so we have no problem knowing who wrote this and who was inspired of the Lord to write this. And we must remember that these psalms were at one time the hymn book for the Jews as they went into their synagogues and to their temple to worship the Lord. This was their time of being together and using these psalms as their songs. And we have a song book, and they had a psalm book. And they had a book of these psalms that was used there in their service in honor and presence of the Lord. Now David writes here in verse number 1 of Psalm number 40, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord." We'll just read those three verses. David says here in verse number 1, he says, "I waited patiently for the Lord." And sometimes the Lord does try our patience. Sometimes he wants us to realize that he doesn't move it on our time scale. He doesn't move at the speed that we sometimes wish he would. But many times we just have to wait patiently for him. But we understand and realize that as we wait for him, when he gives us the answer, it'll be the right answer. It'll be the correct answer. As we mentioned this morning, there's so many problems in our nation. There's so many problems around this country. And we may just have to wait patiently to see how the Lord works all these things out. We hear of different things happening in different areas, and hear the reports from different states and the things that are going on. And much of it is not good. And so you and I, as a believer tonight, we must learn to depend upon the Lord. But in these verses, especially verse 2 and 3, we find here that David gives a testimony of what the Lord had done for him. As I read these verses, I thought about these verses tell us where we have been and tell us where we are. And it's all by the grace of the Lord. You and I tonight, we are what we are by God's mercy and grace. His mercy was shown upon us, and then therefore his grace was poured out upon us. He gave us the ability to hear the word of God, to hear the message of salvation, and gave us the wonderful gift of faith to believe. And thank God tonight we can believe upon him and trust him with everything in our heart and everything in our soul, that we can depend upon the Lord Jesus Christ. If he can take me from where I was, if he can take you from where you were and take you to where you are right now, and then thank God we know where we're going, then we can depend upon everything he tells us and everything he gives to us to honor him. So I want us to look tonight in primarily these two verses. Let's read them again, and then we'll go back and break them down. "He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of a miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord." Many shall see it, many shall fear, and many shall trust in the Lord. Everything the Lord does, he does for a reason. Everything God does in your life, everything God does in my life, he does it for a purpose and for a reason, and primarily that we could tell somebody and show someone that we are a believer in Christ, that we serve him, and so therefore he can give his own testimony to them through our life and through the ways that we have that he has given unto us. So I want us to look tonight at where we were and where we are. And I think we find it in these two verses. First of all, we were in a terrible condition. The sinner's state, the condition of the individual that knows not God. He gives us here these words, a horrible pit. You can read in the scripture, there are those that have been thrown in pits. There have been those that have been cast in dungeons. And David uses these words to show us that where he was, and we can look at it and know that's where we were as an unbeliever before we came to know the Lord, we were in a horrible pit. You cannot dig out of it. You can't buy your way out of it. You can't do anything to get out of it other than trust the Lord, other than believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. This pit is a place of separation. The world out there today that we are looking at and watching go its merry way and do its thing, they do not realize it, but they're in a horrible pit. They're in a rut that cannot ever be escaped. And they're in that place of unbelief and a place that is denying sometimes the very existence of the Lord Jesus Christ. This horrible pit is not only a place of separation, but it's also a place of darkness. We read not too long ago, a few weeks ago, about Jesus is the light, and in him is no darkness at all. Thank God he is the light of the world. And men, the Bible say, they stay in their condition. They stay in this horrible pit because they love darkness rather than light. And so this, David said, I was in a horrible pit. And he said, I was separated from the Lord. I was in a place of darkness. Not only that, but it's a place of death. If a man, individual dies without the Lord, they die that second death without God, spend eternity without the Lord. And there is the real separation between God and man. As wicked as this world is, it still has the influence of the Holy Spirit. As wicked as people are today and as woeful as they are against the things of God, we still have the influence of the Word of God and the work of God. We still have the influence of the Lord Jesus Christ withholding and restraining the wickedness. Can you imagine what this world would be like if the Holy Spirit did not restrain, if he was not the one that drew back and held back the powers of darkness and the powers of hell? And that'll break forth in the tribulation time when the Spirit of God is removed as far as his restraining effort upon this world. And so David said, I inclined my ear to the Lord. And he said, I waited patiently for him, and he brought me out of a horrible pit. Thank God tonight, you and I that are believers, we could testify this afternoon. We could go around the auditorium and people could tell us each other about the day you got saved. The day that the Lord broke upon your heart and broke in your soul and made you realize that you were in a horrible pit, that you were separated from the Lord, that you had no way of getting to the Lord. There's no ladder to climb, as though song might tell us. There's no ladder to heaven. There's no real way to heaven. There's only the real way, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we find ourselves where we were in a horrible pit, a terrible condition. Those folks that we hear about and read about and even have news reports on, and how the wickedness of how they are working so hard against the churches of our country, they don't realize it, but they're in a horrible pit. They don't realize it, but they're separated from God. They maybe do not realize it, but they're in darkness. They may think they're in the light. They may think they have the physical light, but spiritually they have no light. And if they die in the condition they're living in, they'll be in eternal darkness forever and forever without God. And so David says here, I waited for the Lord. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he heard my cry, and he brought me out of a horrible pit. There's the state of the sinner. There's the condition of an individual before they come to know and meet the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only is that his state or his condition, but thank God we have a Savior. Every one of us in here tonight that's been born again, we have a Savior. And we can identify him. We can name him. His name is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And so tonight we realize that he is he that brought me up. David said, I didn't do it myself. And David had every powerful means in his possession. David could have done what he wanted to do. He was the king of the great nation of Israel. He was probably the greatest king that Israel has ever had, other than one day Jesus will be their king. But Jesus is the son of David, and he'll sit upon the throne of David in that millennial kingdom of the Lord. And so David said, he set me up, or he brought me up out of the miry clay, sinking down, going farther and farther and farther away from God. You know, our world in which we're living, it's not getting closer to the Lord. We can look around and understand and know for sure that the world's not getting better. The world is going farther from God all the time. We're in a horrible pit, and we're sinking in the mire and the murk of the pit that is there around the world that is lost. And so we have a Savior. Now, the state is that we are lost, but thank God we have a Savior tonight. And we're here tonight because we met the Lord. We're here tonight as a believer. Whether we're sitting at our home or whether we're sitting here in the pew, we have a Savior if we know the Lord Jesus Christ in a personal relationship that we have with Him. And He brought us out of the miry clay. What it really means here, He brought us out of the pit. He brought me up. Thank God He lifted us up. He set our feet solidly upon the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll look at that in just a moment. But we have a Savior. I don't have just a good friend, and He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, but I have a Savior. I have one that delivered me. You have one that delivered you. We all have our families that would do anything for us, and we would do anything for our families. We have our friends, but we, as a Christian tonight, we have a Savior, and He did everything for us. He did everything that was possible whereby we can know Him as our Lord. He died upon the cross of Calvary that we might have life through His name. And so David says, I waited for Him. Maybe he didn't speak as quick as David wanted him to, but he said, I waited patiently and He heard my cry. Thank God one night He heard my cry. One day He heard your cry, whatever that cry might have been. And I'm not too much upon what the world calls the sinner's prayer. I think every sinner has their own way of coming to the Lord and trusting the Lord and calling upon the Lord, because the Bible says if we call upon Him, thank God He will hear us. And when He hears us, He lifts us out of that miry clay. He lifts us out of that pit of destruction, that pit of death and despair and darkness, and all those things we mentioned a moment ago. He lifted us up because He's our deliverer. He's our Savior, and He's the only one that could do that for not only me. He did it for you, not only for you and I, He did it for the world, and He did it for everyone that will believe upon Him and trust Him. I'm glad, thank God, that grace becomes effective when we believe upon Him, and God gives us the ability to trust and to believe and call upon Him. And so our salvation is nothing of us, all of Him. He brought us up. He did the work. He gave us life eternal. That's where I was. I was in a pit. That's where you were. And now He has become our Savior. And then the Bible says, next thing in these verses is that He set my feet upon a rock. Now we understand that rock gives us the belief or the knowledge that there is a foundation. I'm glad He's my foundation. I'm glad I can build upon the Lord Jesus Christ. The New Testament gives us a man that builds upon the sand and a man that builds upon rock. And we know the story. That one that built upon the sand, the winds came and the difficulties of life came and the storms came to his house that he built and it fell. But the one that was built upon the rock, thank God it stood. You and I tonight, we are built. Our feet have been established upon the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our security. The scripture tells us that He is our safe place. We can go to Him in time of trouble when nobody else understands, when nobody else cares. Thank God He cares. When nobody else gives any idea of help to us, thank God we can go to Him because He is our rock. He's the rock of our salvation. He's that solid place. He's that safe place. He's that secure place. The rock, the boulder of the Lord Jesus Christ is not going to shake under the problems of this world. Thank God it's steadfast and sure. You and I tonight, we're built upon him. The Bible tells us when Jesus talked to Peter, and Peter was asked about who men said that the Lord was, and he called off a lot of different names. And then the Lord said to Peter, "But who do you say that I am?" And he said, thou art the Son of God. And Jesus gives to Peter the understanding that that's not something that comes from mankind, that comes as a gift from God. And he says, upon this rock, I will build my church. Now, there's a lot of struggles going on tonight in this country and around the world about the church. But I'll tell you what, it's built, if it's the right kind, if it's built upon the word of God, it's the right kind of church, and you can rest assured that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The gates of wickedness shall not prevail. Now, they may come against us. The struggles will be there, and the struggles may be there, but they're not going to prevail. They're not going to win. You know why? One day God's going to take us out of this world. He's going to take his people out of this world, and we're going to be with him. And then this world can be in their horrible pit, and they'll live to regret everything they said and everything they did against the Lord Jesus Christ. But we have a security because we're on a secure foundation. And that foundation is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our rock. He is our hope. And we can build upon him, and we can have the knowledge that what we do will last forever and forever. Now, the things I do down here and the things you do down here, it'll deteriorate and it'll decay. Everything we build will be destroyed. Everything that we build will decay and it will wear out. Those $50,000 vehicles that we buy one day will break down and they'll wear out. The homes that we build and buy that are multiples of dollars, one day they will deteriorate and they will fall. But if we build our life upon the Lord Jesus Christ, thank God he's our standard. He's our foundation. He is the one that will help us. So where I was in a horrible pit. Where I'm headed is toward heaven. But in between, I have a Savior and I have a security. Now, as a believer, as a Christian tonight, there are some things, some steps that we have that should be the steps of a Christian. The Bible says here in these verses, he set my feet upon a solid rock, and then it says, established my goings, my pathway, the way that I walk, where that I walk, and the pathway of life, living for him. The steps are ordered by the Lord. Steps are given and instructions are given to us that we live for the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's by the Holy Spirit of God. We're to follow the commands that are given in the Word of God. Now, we fall short of that. We certainly do not keep all of them, but we are to keep the things that God gives to us that we have the ability to serve him and to honor him because being thankful what he's done for me, being thankful for how he has delivered me. See, now, that horrible pit was going to close in on him, was going to destroy him, going to have destruction in his life. But God delivered him out of that, put his feet on a solid rock, and then as he walks in this life, pathway of life, he establishes our going. We follow the steps of the Lord Jesus Christ. We follow the steps of the light. We follow the light that is before us. And so tonight, we find that there was a place that I used to be, but now there's a place that I am, and there is a place that I shall be. There's the past, the present, and the future for the child of God, and I believe it all is given to us here in these verses. And so tonight it says, he brought me up, he set me up, and now he establishes me. He gives me life. He gives me energy. He gives me ability to live and to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. In our flesh, we are weak and frail. But thank God in his spirit, we have the ability to follow and to do those things that were pleasing unto him. We are saved and safe. And we're satisfied in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have gone from being a sinner. Now we are a saint. And by the way, you became a saint when you got saved. Someone doesn't have to pronounce you a saint. Someone doesn't have to put words that you was a good person, a good individual. That's not what a saint is. A saint is someone that's been born again by the Spirit of God. We are children of God. We are the saints of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one day he's going to gather us home. That's what shall be. That's what is yet in the future. So he establishes our going. He brought us up. He took us out of the miry clay. He set our feet on a solid rock. He established my goings. And then it says here, he put a new song in my mouth. There's the song of the saint. Now, some saints can sing pretty well. Some saints can make a joyful noise. And that's okay. It's the song that is in our heart. Since I had the surgery on my neck, I have a real problem singing. I believe that probably bothers me as much as anything. Sometimes I can do pretty good. Sometimes I don't even want to hear myself. But we have a song in our heart. We have a joy in our soul. We have a understanding that he has given us something that can never be taken away from us. And David said, not only did he establish my going, but while I'm going, I can rejoice in the Lord. I can sing. He's put a new song in my mouth. It's a song of redemption. Everywhere a believer goes, you can tell someone, I'm a believer. Everywhere that you go as a Christian, you can sing the song of I am redeemed, saved by the blood of the crucified one. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Thank God he puts a song in our heart and a song in our mouth, a song of redemption. We have been born again. We have been redeemed out of this old world of sin. We've been redeemed out of the marketplace. We've been redeemed out of the horrible pit. We've been established in our goings. Now as we go, we can sing the praises of the Lord Jesus Christ to everyone we meet. Thank God we are saved. What a great biblical word salvation is, to be saved. I know there's a lot of different words that give us the same meaning, but that's a good biblical word, that we've been saved. Saved means we've been changed. Saved, we've been redeemed. We've been bought. We're no longer our own. We've been bought with a price, and that price was the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so David said, he established my steps, but now he's given me a song in my mouth. He's given me rejoicing in my soul, because when you see what you were and where you were going, you can't help but sing the praises of the Lord. You can't help but rejoice in what the Lord has done for us. It's a song of redemption. It's a song of victory. We have a song in our songbook, Victory in Jesus. Thank God we have victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not in what we have, but it's in what he has given to us. It's a song of victory. It's a song of his beloved. You can look in the book of Isaiah chapter 5, verse number 1. The Lord talks about his well-beloved vineyard. And we have the song of the beloved one, Jesus Christ. You can read the book of the Song of Solomon, and Solomon is rejoicing of the love of his bride. And that depicts the rejoicing of the Lord to his bride, which is the church of Jesus Christ. And so tonight, we have been in a horrible pit. The Lord's brought us out of that. He's cleaned us up. He's made us a new creature in Christ. And by the way, you don't clean up to get saved. You get saved and then get cleaned up. If you clean yourself up, then you have something to do about your own salvation. The Lord does all the work, does all the cleaning. He puts our feet on a solid rock, and we can rejoice in him, knowing without any shadow of a doubt that when we leave this world, we have a home in heaven. As weak and frail and sometimes sinful as we are, we can have the hope in our heart and life that we know where we're going, because he has put a song in our heart. He has given us steps to our feet. He has given us security to our soul. He has given us a Savior that has brought us out of that lost, ungodly condition. A new song in my mouth. I'm glad I can sing, I've been redeemed. I'm glad I can sing these old songs and they're rejoicing. You can look through the book of Psalms, and these songs of the Hebrews, they were, many of them were psalms of rejoicing. And they would sing those together out of that Hebrew hymn book, and they would rejoice in what the Lord had done for them. And you and I tonight have the same privilege of rejoicing in the Lord and having a song in our heart and expressing the gratitude of the Lord of what he has done for us. I was in a pit, but thank God now I'm on a place of solid foundation. I'm on a place of rejoicing in Him. And then we praise our God. That next part of verse number three says, "And He hath put a new song in our mouth, even praise to our God." Now there's a difference in singing and praising. Now some don't want to make a difference in that, but we can sing and we can rejoice, but there is a time when we just get along with God and we praise the Lord for what He's done for us. It may be in a song. Sometimes the Lord will maybe give us a song that we can praise Him, but it may just be an attitude of rejoicing in the Lord of our heart of how good He has been to us. Tonight, if we would just think for a moment, I think someone said this morning, just was thankful how good the Lord had been. I'm glad tonight we can say He's good to us. He has honored us with his Son. The Son's honored us with His life. And He's just good to us. If I was to ask the question, does anybody have any complaint against what the Lord's ever done for you? There's not going to be any complaints because He's always done right. And He's always been righteous. Can He complain against me? Oh, yes, many, many times. But my hope of rejoicing in my psalms of praise and my songs of rejoicing in Him is because of what He has given me and the blessing that I have in life. And now I can serve Him with the praises unto our God. We praise His love. Thank God, the love of God that is manifest to this world. The world tonight that rejects Him and turns their back upon Him and hates Him, He still shows them His love. For God so loved the world. It's not just the world of believers. He loved the world. He loved every individual that's ever been born, that is born, and shall be born. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Thank God. The only Son that God had is Jesus Christ, and He gave His only begotten, very unique individual. The word begotten there means unique. There's no one like Jesus, and God gave His Son, and His Son did what? He gave us life. He gave us liberty in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so my service is because of His love to me, His mercy, the mercy of the Lord. If it was not for His mercy, we would all be headed toward hell. If it was not for His forgiveness and His grace, we'd all be headed to a devil's hell where we deserve to be. Hell wasn't made for mankind. It's made for the devil and his angels, but mankind rejects the love of God, rejects the willingness of the Lord to love us, and so therefore men die without God. But I'm glad tonight I can have praise in my heart for the love of God, for His mercy upon me, His mercy upon you, His forgiveness to each of us. He has forgiven us. We're far from being perfect. One day we shall be. That's where we're going. Where we are right now, we're living under the grace and the umbrella of the grace of God, and to God be the glory. He has forgiven us of our sins and our trespasses. Notice in the last part of verse number 3. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust the Lord. That's our testimony. That's where God has taken us. That's where the Lord has moved us to, that people can see what God has done for us. The saint becomes the reflection of the true light. We're not the light, but we are a reflection of the light. And we have a light that we're to shine in this world of darkness, this world that's in a pit that do not even realize it, this world that is so far away from God. We're the only light they have. We're the only way they have of ever coming to truth. You say, can some people, have they gone too far? Are some so wicked that could never know the Lord? No, I'm glad the Bible tells us that God's not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to a repentant heart and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Will they do that? I do not know. But I have an obligation to the Lord and to them to tell them that there is truth. As the battle rages in our country and churches are being threatened, and some of them are really being threatened, Who knows what the Lord will do with that, because that church has light. That church has believers that trust the Lord and will follow the dictates of their heart. As I said this morning, I believe today is a very important day, that churches should have opened today and went forward just like they always have. That's our right as a believer. That's our right as a Christian. That's our right as an American. But you and I tonight, we have the responsibility of showing forth the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, even to those that do not love us. We are the reflection of the true light, which is Jesus Christ, and we are an epistle. Oh, we don't write down the book, we don't write down an epistle, but we are that living epistle to people around us that we hope and pray that they would see Jesus living in some things about the Lord, some attributes of the Lord that would be in my heart and your soul, and that people could come to know Christ, to realize, say, hey, they've got something I don't have. They've got something different. So I pray tonight that we would realize where we were in a horrible pit. Where are we today? Thank God, as a Christian, we are delivered. We are saved. We are satisfied in the Lord. Where are we going? It's yet in the future. It could be tonight. I pray it would be. I believe we ought to pray as John did on the Isle of Patmos, even so come, Lord Jesus, and look forward to the blessed appearance of our Lord, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ that is talked about in the book of Titus. And we are to look for his appearing. That's where we shall be. It doesn't matter what this world does, I'm going to heaven. That's a satisfaction that only God can give. It doesn't matter what friends, family, folks think about. If we're truly saved, we're going to heaven. Thank God tonight, that's where we are. That's where we're headed. We were in a bad place, and thank God we're going to a wonderful place called glory. May God help us tonight to shed forth that light, to give forth that gospel, to realize that the world does what it does. The lost people do what they do because that's their nature. Sometimes we try to clean up the world, and that's not their nature to be cleaned up. The only thing that will cleanse them is the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And through that, they have life. They become a new creature just like we, and they learn to live and to grow, establish their going, their feet on solid rock, a song in their heart, and heaven as their home. May God help us tonight to have that attitude in this world in which we live. Let's stand together tonight and ask God's blessings. Mm-hmm.